High expected to reach around 80 with partly cloudy skies during the evening. We may see another thunderstorm or two on Thursday evening. Low expected to reach around 60.
Right now, cloudy skies, 63 here in downtown Cynthia. And good Wednesday morning to you. It is time for Coffee Break Extra, being brought to you today by the Ross Opera House, Harris Memorial Hospital, Ewell Jewelers on Main, and Smith Insurers. And with that, we say good morning to our host, Mr. James Smith.
Hey, good morning, Edward.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm okay. And you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good. Looks like you're always busy.
Well, I'm looking for something to talk about today, so... I was going through my news feed, but
I figured you
nothing but Star Trek and the Beach Boys and
all kinds of fun stuff.
Not a whole lot of stuff popping up.
Beach Boys and Star Trek.
You said you talk about your news feed. Is that
my news
feed? Is that the things you've identified you want kept up on?
No, not identified, but I guess they watch what I click and read on, and so they feed your news
feed.
These
are things you're interested in. That's what we'll tell you about.
Yeah.
So you're not interested in the other stuff?
Well, there's some other stuff popping up, but...
But not news.
No. I get a lot of movie stuff because I, you know, run a movie theater, I guess, so...
Yeah.
But I don't click on those very often.
Hmm.
Eagle Scout stuff. I got a grandson working on an Eagle Scout project, so I'm getting everybody's Eagle Scout project.
Has he got his project up and running?
He's working on... It took him forever to get it approved. The approval process. Yeah. So he's working on the dog park at Flat Run Park, improving that. He's going to put some shade trees, some obstacles, and a bench or two out there for people to.
Sounds good.
To do.
When's he going to try to do that?
Hopefully soon, because I was hoping that it would already be done, but it's. Everything takes longer than
it does.
You think it's going to take.
It does. Is he going to try to do it before school's out?
I'd like to see him do it as the. I guess I'm serving as the project beneficiary.
Yeah,
because we own the park. That where the dog park is. So he's coming through. Been coming through the city. The city's funding some of it and ordering some of the obstacles, and then, but it's
good deal.
As you know, your son going through there's a lot of stuff.
Well, we learned from you that the project itself is not really the issue. It's all the planning and then the recruiting of additional people and the leadership of the team to do the work. That the whole purpose is all that. It's really not the project itself. Right. I can remember asking you, so in other words, if I could work it out with enough planning and preparation, I could carry a glass of water across the room and it would count. And you said you got to be able to recruit people to help and delegate them
and
I thought, wow. But that really helped, because the project he was thinking of doing was just massive, but it helped to bring it down to a much realistic thing.
Right.
And so it worked out well.
Yeah. In your projects like that, the city and the county and your government agencies can't do everything.
Right.
That we would want to do or that citizens want. So we need kids like...
Yeah,
these Eagle Scout candidates to pick their projects. The Girl Scouts, if you're going for your Gold Award, they they can pick projects. And
Kirsten
Griggs
did a great job down there at the park.
Yeah. And so there's some more coming by, and an Eagle Scout project can benefit your community, or they can benefit your church, or other organizations like that. So I know some kids in the Troop 76, I think, is the number. The other Boy Scout troop, they're doing some projects for their churches.
And nice.
So that works too. Speaking of projects, there's a pickleball court project going on by our Leadership Harrison County group. They're raising money for pickleball courts over at River Road Park. 3 regulation size pickleball courts, and they're really, really close. So if you want to help out with that project, they're within like $6,000 of being able to put in 3 regulation size courts with
I know I'm out of touch. I don't know what pickleball is.
You'd probably like it.
Yeah? Does it involve moving around?
It does involve moving around. It's a cross between... It's sort of like tennis, yeah, but on a smaller court, so there's not as much running around. And the ball is like a wiffle ball, and the paddles are like giant ping pong paddles.
A wiffle ball?
Yeah, it's like a wiffle ball.
Huh. All right.
And it's a really fast game. I mean, when you have four people, two on each side, I mean, it goes really, really fast. And so it's the, surprised you haven't heard of it, it's the fastest growing sport in America.
I have heard of pickleball. I just haven't taken the time to find out what it is. Because it was not described to me as clearly as what you just did. I had the idea that it was a hybrid of handball or racquetball.
Okay.
And you're saying no, it's more of a tennis,
badminton, yeah, kind of one of those net kind of games.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I've seen it played. There's some folks that play it in the gym.
Yes.
City Hall gym, but that's not air conditioned, so you know you're very limited on when you can play there, and with just one court, only four people can play at a time.
All right.
So I've never played it, but it looks fun, and so
yeah.
That's happening, but and that's another example of a group that's not, you know, the city or the county, getting together, raising some money for something, and then going out and making it happen. So, if you have a group and you see something that you want to make happen in the community, come see me. Come see Judge Marshall. We can put you in there.
How much from the time they walk in your door until you give permission, what's involved with that?
Depending on what the idea is. Sometimes it's, you know, you have a lot of money to raise. The playground out at Flat Run Park, there's a private citizens, a group of moms who wanted, you know, a playground out there several years ago. It's been a little over a decade. And so they started doing fundraisers, and that's a pretty good sized playground.
It is, yeah.
And so it took them a while to raise the money, but and then they got it and got it installed. And you know, now,
what did that require? A city commission meeting? Was that something you could just say, "Yep, go do it"?
It's going to be at Flat Run Park, that's a.
Was that something that had to be coordinated between city and county?
It does. Flat Run Park is a jointly owned park.
Yeah.
So it had to be coordinated. There's a few parks. It's just city owned, but kind of Parks and Rec take ownership of it. That's Heroes Park up at behind the fire station and police station on Pleasant Street.
Yes.
And Reverend Ross Park. Those are owned by the city but ran by Parks and Recreation. So
okay.
But mostly you'll either come to the city or come to the county, get the go ahead and go to the other place. And you know.
Does the city or county ever turn people down?
Not if they want to do things. I mean, if you came in with some kind of outlandish, crazy idea, so, we might.
so you're telling me that you're not aware of times that the folks have wanted to do stuff, it's all been realistic enough to say yes, that'll benefit.
Well, since I've been mayor, my standard answer is yes, let's see if we can make that work. And so far we've been able to make just about everything work that people come to. Now there is an idea, people have come with an idea to you know, build a walking bridge across the Licking River.
Okay.
That hasn't come to fruition yet. It's a great idea, but they just, from the idea stage, moving on, getting drawings and estimates and raising the money for that, no one seems to want to do the work that's involved in that.
Well, you would.
Even though it's a great idea.
You would have to hire a company to do that.
Yeah, you would want to. Yeah,
you want somebody that knows what they're doing on bridge work.
Right. And it would have to pass. There's a... division of bridges and stuff, and so
yeah, that's not just a sure. Go start digging.
That's the only idea I can think of. That's a great idea, but that's a little bit beyond the scope of a private citizen raising. I mean, I would say that would be over $1 million.
Where have they wanted to place it?
Kind of right over here, near the old jail or where Daly's is, going over to kind of River Road Ballpark.
Okay. All right.
Then again, great idea, but.
I understand.
Huge project.
Yeah. That's kind of like the project you and I talked about where we'll build a recreational facility on top of the parking lot and the parking lot underneath the recreational facility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There across from the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it several stories so there's plenty of parking and plenty of playtime, play area. And for some reason, nobody wanted to pay that $20 or $30 million. Who'd have thought?
That's right. That's right. But the another example of that is the sand volleyball court out at Flat Run Park. Bullard came to me one time.
Sand volleyball? I've not seen that.
You've not seen that? That's out there by the basketball courts at Flat Run Park.
Okay.
And so Bullard came after one city-county update meeting that the Chamber of Commerce did where me and the judge gave an update on what's going on, and someone from Bullard came up and said, hey, if we got a little money together, could we put a sand volleyball court? So they donated the seed money, and then I reached out to other people who I know are big volleyball fans, and other people gave some money, and then the city and county gave some money, and then now we've got a sand volleyball court that's
one court?
One court.
Okay.
Yep. So those are some of the things that happen.
That's good stuff.
So
on that same idea, there's a whole bunch of people, I would guess, that enjoy the verse, the Bible verse. It's Jeremiah 29:11. A little bit of Bible trivia. Can you quote that for us?
For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope and a future.
All right. Excellent. Excellent.
That's the James paraphrase.
That's the James paraphrase. Excellent. Can you quote 4 verses earlier?
No, I cannot.
That's Jeremiah. What you quoted was Jeremiah 29:11, but what about 29:7?
No, I cannot.
Can you do it?
Nope.
All right. You want to hear it?
Yep. And obviously you can't quote it either because you just looked it up.
I can quote it.
Oh, can you?
Yep. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord. Excuse me. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. I would like to see a whole bunch of emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work. Pray and work for the welfare of your community, because as your community thrives and prospers, so will you.
Right.
And that is only 4 verses ahead of, you know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Right. Which a lot of people have up on posters or bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Or
yep. Everybody in the United States, I'm saying that in a broad, sweeping way, has been indoctrinated in this individualism as if that's the only thing.
Right.
I've never known somebody to grow up individually. It's always been within a family. It's always been, whether the family's big, small, helpful, destructive, whatever, it's been within a family.
Right.
And they've always been educated with somebody, with a group, with a school, homeschool group. It's never been an isolated thing. In other words, I've just never met a hermit that was a hermit 100% of their life.
Right.
And yet we act like everything is so individualistic instead of you're part of a community.
Right.
So why not
work together?
Work in such a way to where the community benefits.
Well, one of the best examples of that is the whole book of Nehemiah.
Okay.
Nehemiah's project to build the walls back, that's a civic project.
Yes.
You know, I know we as preachers use that a lot of times in sermons to talk about building the church.
Okay.
But if you look at it, the walls of the city, that was a city project.
I'm hearing the music, so we'll come back to
that.
It.
Yeah. So that's what I've always thought. And You know, if everybody pitched in on what does the city need? You know, we don't need walls, but, you know, what do we need here? All right, we're going to take a break here. We got Dr. Ted Beam, which I don't think I even introduced you when we started the show. So from the First Methodist Church here in Cynthiana, up on Pike Street and Church Street. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Breathe easier, Central Kentucky. The healthcare professionals of Harrison Memorial Hospital want you to know that world-class detection and treatment of lung disease is here. Not only do they offer the only full-time pulmonologist in the local area, but HMH also provides low-dose lung screenings to detect cancer in its earliest stages. Should lung cancer be detected, pulmonologist Dr. Srinad Anangi is here to diagnose. Dr. Anangi and the staff also treat other chronic lung disorders, such as asthma and emphysema. And Harrison Memorial Hospital has been designated a lung cancer screening center by the American College of Radiology. As one of only 5 hospitals in Kentucky to earn a 5-star quality rating from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they provide medical treatment based on what you need. Harrison Memorial Hospital. Now that's what we call a breath of fresh air.
Ewalt Jewelers on Main. Now we could talk carat weight, clarity, color, and cut, but the important thing is if you have someone special that you want something special for, you need to see Steve Ewalt. Whether it's holidays, special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, wedding gifts, Steve will help you find the perfect gift. Watch, clock, and jewelry repairs. You can resize, remount, or change your stone settings. Quality merchandise, repairs, and awesome service combined with a name you can trust. Ewalt Jewelers on Main. Phone 234-3741.
Loading the kids in the car. Brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Call Tolu, Becky, or Joseph at Smith Insures, 234-3641.
If you have a guest or topic that you would like to hear on Coffee Break Extra, please call 234-1400. And now, back to today's program.
All right.
Caught you off guard there.
Yeah, this is another Ghostbuster. I hear the Ghostbuster theme in the background.
It says Ghostbuster theme, epic version. It's supposed to be kind of the...
I like the original better.
I agree.
But Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is this weekend at the Ross Opera House.
We had 2 more days to play. I didn't want to play the same song every day.
Yeah. There I hear a little bit more of the... Yep. So this weekend...
Friday and Saturday night, 7?
Saturday at 7, Sunday at 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yep.
4. Why 4 o'clock?
Because
so you don't interfere with people's Sunday afternoon naps?
We used to do our matinees at 2.
Yeah.
And we moved them to 4 just as an experiment, and we have more people come out. So I guess 2 is too close to the middle of the day. And
I think it's nap time.
So I guess people would go to church and then go home and not want to come out by 2 or go to the restaurant and not be able to get through. I don't know, but 4 o'clock seems to work a whole lot better.
I missed that somewhere that you changed it to 4.
That was about 2 years ago.
I was going to say, hey, it's been a little bit. But you're a little busy on Sundays. You're a little tied up on Sundays, aren't you?
I am. I do keep myself busy on Sundays.
Are you a Ghostbusters fan? I know you like movies.
Am I a what fan?
Ghostbusters.
Bits and pieces, but not as a whole.
Okay. New ones are Sunday this weekend if you like to go see it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I got a text, and I can't address it completely, but I will mention what I think I know. It says, good morning. Cynthiana has said for quite a while that our drinking water is safe and very good, no worries. However, KYTV News said that we do not have safe water and we have problems. Please talk about this. Thank you. We have not gotten any violations of our water, and it's tested several times a day. So I don't know. I haven't seen this news thing at all. So I don't know what it's referring to. And I just talked to our water treatment operator yesterday, and he said nothing. So I don't know what it is. It could be we were picked for, because our water is so good, we were picked for some studies on, you might have heard it in the news, PFAS. That's one of those forever chemicals that wow. is everywhere. It seems it's turning up everywhere, and it's used in manufacturing, and it's kind of like a byproduct. So our water was tested before it went into the treatment process to see how much in the South licking, because it's one of the cleanest river. I mean, there's almost nothing down upstream from Cynthiana. So they were seeing how much PFAS is in a water where nobody dumps in.
Okay.
Industry wise. And so there was a little bit in our water, but that's before it goes through the treatment process. So, I mean, KYT, whatever they reported, it's not affecting the quality or the purity of our water. But I'll find more out about that, and I'll try to have Todd Blanton on. 3M was sued, the big corporate, because of PFAS. So it's one of the byproducts of some of their manufacturing. Not here, but in some of their plants. They have hundreds of plants everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. And so... So that could be what it's talking about, but I'm not exactly sure, because I haven't seen the art, I haven't seen the report or anything like that. But it was a trial to see how much PFAS is in just groundwater. So that's it. That's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you for addressing that.
So we'll see. I'll try to get more news and have Todd on maybe in a future program to talk about that. So, all right, let's talk. What were we talking about?
We were talking about
Nehemiah and
yeah. You mentioned that Nehemiah is a good example of working for the benefit of the city. That rebuilding the walls, reestablishing the various behaviors. Anyway, that
and that was going on at the same time that Ezra was rebuilding the temple, which
correct.
Is a spiritual.
Right.
Revival, and then there's the civic revival going on at the same time. So they go hand in hand.
And that of all the details that we get in the Bible, some of the details in that book, like it took 52 days to rebuild the walls. It's like, how, of all the things to write, why would you write that? You know, instead of just saying, it took us a couple of months.
Right.
No. 52 days. So what's the significance of the, of that detail, or that in order to rebuild, there were naysayers, folks who actually interfered, and so you had people working in teams where that one would be laying the brick and the block, and the other would be standing there with a drawn sword, ready to make sure no one knocked it over.
Right.
That's some, some hazard pay coming somewhere.
And a good case study in dealing with the naysayers, not just with swords.
Yes.
You don't have to have a sword while you're putting up your dog park improvements
today. But it wouldn't
hurt.
But
you're going to get criticism. And it's a case study on dealing with criticism and moving ahead with the project. And,
because the folks who were there, they didn't want things rebuilt. They didn't want the changes brought. They said, we like it the way it is. It's been this way our whole lives. Yes, it's been this way for 70 years, but we think it'd be better if the walls were actually built instead of laying around in piles of rubble. So it was, I had a professor at seminary who did a four-part series in chapel service on how God rebuilds a person's life, and he ran a parallel from Nehemiah, how they rebuilt the city parallel to how an individual life is rebuilt. And I think I think that that's when I started playing with the idea of, yes, I'm an individual, but I'm within a community.
Right.
Because the prof saying, hey, what's good in an individual life is good in a community. What's good in a community is good in an individual. And when you can balance that, you're probably going to enjoy life a lot more. Especially the people around you are going to enjoy having you around much more.
Right.
But so let me jump from that. We've got a festival coming up this weekend at First Methodist.
Okay.
We're going to put up a bounce house thing with slides and bouncy and, you know, all sorts of stuff for the children. And we're going to be grilling some hot dogs. Got some chips and drinks, and we're going to be just having a little festival out in our parking lot area, hoping that folks will come, bring their elementary age children. That's who we're gearing it for, targeting, and that we're wanting to give them just a day to have some fun.
Right.
And
so what time does that start?
We're not charging any price. Starts at 11 a.m. Goes to 1 p.m.
Okay.
2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We, our children's pastor and youth pastor, this is their brainstorming idea. I mean, it's not unique, but they want to do something in the spring to kind of launch the kids here to help with the end of school energy.
Right.
You know, let's burn off a little energy so that they don't. Going bouncing off the walls at school.
That's right.
Being a little more focused on year-end testing and such, but and then also we're gonna, you know, pass out promotional stuff on our VBS Vacation Bible School coming up in July. But mostly it's just a festival to give the kids a chance to bounce around, have fun,
right.
And I've never been in one of those things. I just watch them. But I would guess they're a lot of fun.
I think they are. Yeah. I've been in some.
Yeah.
When my kids were smaller, and they didn't prohibit adults from getting in.
Oh yeah.
Some of them say no adults allowed. So, well, when's your regular service times? I always like to give you an opportunity to.
At 11 a.m. on Sundays, we have our regular worship service. We have a Sunday school time where all the different classes meet. Do some teaching, some development. That's at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. But worship is at 11.
11 o'clock.
And we're having some fun in our worship services. This past week we had three of our folks give testimonies of what God's done in their lives. And I don't know about others, but it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to say a company, corporation, church is not doing a good job when you've got a continual line of satisfied customers.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And for some reason, Jesus has this line of satisfied customers, people that have come to know Christ and to know Him well, and they talk about, you know, where they've been.
Right.
One guy talk about how it had never occurred to him until later, looking back on it, of just the effect of hearing the invitation to come to the altar every week, how that just affected him. We had another lady share that it wasn't until she became a parent, when she became a mother, that she realized how influential her parents had been in her coming to Christ. She was like a lot of us, she was pointing to one or two or three others that she thought had influenced her greatly, but it never occurred to her that her parents were the ones who kept putting her in those situations,
right,
where she would even rub shoulders with those folks, that it was her parents who, you know, who were coordinating it and orchestrating all the logistics to make that happen. And so she started realizing just how high percentage of the whole story was her parents working either directly or indirectly, but they were the ones making it happen.